Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio. Welcome, everybody, back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. I am your host, Kenny Bedwell, and today I am with Jeff Usner from STR Digital. Jeff has five STRs. And he has one STR, I kid you not, that's making over $500,000. He has some of the top STRs across the entire state of Pennsylvania out of all states. And he is crushing it. He's CEO of STR Digital, so we're going to dive into that a little bit. But he has been investing in STRs for over 11 years. And so he's got some great insights into the growth of his portfolio and how he's developed these monster short-term rental properties. I mean, these are like super duper short-term rentals, right? So anyway, without further ado, Jeff, tell us more about yourself.
Hey, thanks, Kenny, for having me here and just having a conversation today. So a little bit about myself. I have been, I'm 50 years old, so I'm older, but I've been around and owned businesses since, since I was like eight, from like a baseball card stand, a lemonade stand. I've done a lot of entrepreneurial things in my life. Through that span, I've bought businesses, sold businesses. We exited three businesses in 2021 for multiple eight figures. So my background is very business oriented in building and growing brands. In the short-term rental space, though, as we were making money, we began to invest in short-term rentals about 11 years ago. And we started with some smaller, you know, investment properties, and we've continued to then scale up as we began to learn, you know, how to actually make these things work. Made a lot of mistakes. Horrific stories. Maybe we'll get into some of those, but you know, wells running dry, double bookings, you know, I mean, parties that shouldn't have happened. I mean, you could go, you know, everybody has horror stories. So, but through the years, you know, learn.
Say real quick, are these on Airbnb or like, I mean, 11 years, that's like 2013?
Yeah, 2013 or 2012 or so was like our first one. Yeah, Airbnb was newer then. Vrbo was out. And I had a friend, he actually sold a business. And we were both, even at that time, I was making like a ton of money, but just starting to invest. Actually, the first one I bought, I'll just share this story, is I was living in Texas and my family was in Pennsylvania. And we were just trying to find a place. Like, I don't even know if there was Airbnb. There probably was Airbnb back then, but we couldn't find a place to like just bring my family up to Pennsylvania for, you know, a couple months just to see my family in the summer. And that led to our first transaction where we bought a property with a marketing background. Like I understood, you know, what makes a property maybe more unique and what sells, that type of stuff. So we bought our first one really just to serve our own need, which I think a lot of people do in this industry. At times we stayed there in the summers and then I just started renting it. And that's how we started to learn. But that property, for example, was built by Thomas Jefferson. It had a stream on it. It was like a farmette. It had two buildings. It's like 12 acres. I sold it a couple years ago, but it did really well. But I also learned a lot, you know, early on. So I started in the industry just, you know, as an, I guess, a lifestyle asset for us to have a second home, have a place to go to. And then once we started, we're like, wow, like this could be a really good return on investment for our cash flow. A lot of benefits, obviously, with real estate, with tax benefits. That's not my category to discuss. I've not stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. I'm not a lawyer and I'm not an accountant. However, I do joke around, Kenny, that I used to say I put a lot of lawyers' kids through college. Now I say it's their grandkids because I've done a lot of stuff, whether it's this industry or others. But anyway, so I'm kind of getting off track here. But yeah, that's where we got started in short-term rentals. We bought a few more. And then through time, we've sold those, taken equity, and then increased the size of our properties and really figured out, I think, what's key to anyone who's newer in this business, or if you're a veteran even, because we have a business called STR Digital. We help people with their increasing revenues in a property, putting automation in place. But you really need to understand who you're marketing to. And as we dialed that in, who we really wanted to cater to with our properties, that's when we began to scale them and being able to grow a brand. You can see my shirt. Anyway, here it is. We're opposite here. LuxuryRentals.com is our brand of properties. PA Luxury Rentals, I use a more specific demographic. So those are just a couple, I guess, opening statements. But yeah, so we've had a lot of fun in this space over the years, Kenny, and watched a lot of things change and made a lot of mistakes and have been able to help a lot of people avoid those mistakes too, right? You know, if they're open to it. So yeah.
That's really cool. Okay. So before we hit the record button, you told me that you have, according to AirDNA, three of the top 10 income producing properties in the state. And so for everyone listening, and Jeff, correct me here, some of these properties are, I'm assuming one of them is making over $500,000 gross.
Yeah, I looked before this podcast, we're right at 500, 469, 470. And I mean, this is August. So
that's one of the properties, right?
One property. Yep. Yep.
Wow. Okay. So you've got, so how many short-term rentals do you have right now? And what's like kind of their gross rent, like total gross rent per year that you're generating?
Yeah. So we have five right now, and the gross rent per property on average will be over $300,000 per property. This year, we're already at 104% of our revenue. I looked before I got on here of last year. So we're seeing consistent growth already. You know, we still have a good bit of time left this year to see that number increase. So we have seen, you know, year after year, an increase in our revenues. Our average daily rates, Kenny, as well, on the properties are going to be anywhere from what's called 1500 up to 4000 a night on average. So we're catering to a luxury market is what the demographic we went after. Because I spent some time in a non-luxury market and I realized that I could work less and make more money with the right property hitting the right demographic. And I've learned that in my business career, honestly, like, how do I work less? Like, I'll tell you this, I learned something a long time ago. It takes me just as much time to sell something that's $100 sometimes as it does to sell $1 million. And yeah, why not focus on something where I have like, yeah, right? So I've had some, you know, hard lessons to learn that, but it's really true. So like what our strategy, Kenny, has been is like invest in places where I don't want to be the guy that has, unless they're all like this type of property. And I do have a plan to do that, but I don't want to have 50 rentals. That's a business and people love it. And that's what they do. I'd rather have like 25 that are producing 400,000 a year or 500,000 a year. That becomes a brand as well that I could actually exit at some point if I wanted to. It's why we invested in the brand luxury rental. So that's an average property for us. Yeah. So that's what's been going on in our business. And it's been, pretty awesome because of that too, Kenny. Like we've been able to develop a brand that people come back over and over and over. They go to different properties. Like I have people like this summer, I'm here in Hershey, Pennsylvania. We have a property that's kind of that way. It was their third time staying with us at a third different type of property because they just have such a great experience with us. And we've created more of like a Ritz-Carlton Four Seasons, like more luxury high end. And the properties that I have, like the one I'm pointing to, the investment was $1.25 million into it. So it's a nice house, but it's not like this, like, you know, you're rolling into cribs and it's like, boom, boom, you do the music. It's a house. It's a nice house, but we make it nice. And our communication, our concierge, everything we do has to be at 5 stars and above in our brain. So that's our average property. That's our average experience.
Let's dive in because I'm curious and I'm sure our listeners are going to be curious. Obviously, you're talking about luxury. We know what that means. But like, what amenities do you have? What makes these properties special? Because you can't just have, oh yeah, we're luxury and we're going to generate, you know, $400,000, $500,000 in gross income. I mean, that's like practically unheard of in most vacation rental markets. So like, especially you're in Pennsylvania, like what? So let's talk about this. Like what exactly makes those properties special beyond just the luxury?
It's crazy though, because like, that's a great question. So what amenities? But also like, I always look at like, what's the traffic driver? And our number one property is in this. If you look it up on a map, you're like, what's around it? There's literally not much around it. And what our goal is like, how do we create, literally it's a 5-star resort all to yourself. It's kind of one of the taglines we have in some of our marketing. So what that looks like is all of our properties do have a swimming pool, which is an amenity in my mind. I had a property, it's called the Grandview Farm, that didn't have a pool, and we only did like 59,000 our first year at it. I added the pool, I think it was about 192 the next year. So it immediately paid for the pool. So a swimming pool for us is necessary for our properties, right? A hot tub. We do things like theaters. So all of our properties If there's a garage, we've transformed it into some type of experiential room. So arcade, home theater, those are the two main things. Karaoke, like we've got the balls that hang in like little seating areas. Doing things like that for us, outdoors. So we have things like a putting green. We have like every property has an outdoor playset because I cater to families. And it's usually I'm dealing with grandma and grandpa doing the booking, right? And they're booking for their kids and their grandkids. So they're looking like, what are my kids going to do? So our amenities are focused on that category of client, if that makes sense. So they're not coming to have a bachelor party or bachelorette party, which is great, you know, if you're marketing to that. We do get those inquiries. We push those away because it's not our main demographic. But so our amenities are going to be focused to families. I'm trying to think through. We have like we have two par three golf holes at it. It's kind of cool. It's a farm, right? So my sons and I went out and put in par three golf holes, but it's kind of fun. But those are the types of amenities that we have at each property. And then things just like we use, you know, high quality linens. Like, yeah, I think everybody does to an extent, high quality towels. Every one of my properties, I have this coffee machine actually here. I'm in my office now. I can walk out. I've got one here. It's called a Jura coffee machine. So it's just something to differentiate ourselves. It's a coffee brand. People love coffee. It's the craziest thing in the world. I love coffee. I don't know about you, but, it's something we have at every property, and I've not seen anybody talk about it as an amenity. And we'll invest a couple thousand dollars into a coffee machine, but it creates a coffee station where they can have frappuccinos, they can do whatever type of coffee drink you get at Starbucks. It's at every one of our properties. So that's an amenity. I have a review on Airbnb where the guy said, hey, your property was amazing. We give you 5 stars. But on the way home, we bought one of those coffee machines because it changed our life. And I'm like, oh, okay. So fun stuff. I'll share you with one other amenity. I don't have a picture here I can show you. I just bought these Scottish Highlanders for one of our properties. I've never seen anybody talk about that as an amenity. I'm sure people do. It's going to be hard to show on the screen. But that was an amenity, I guess you could call it. I'm testing it. We'll see what happens. I've actually had some bookings starting to come in where people are really excited about Scottish Highlanders. Go figure. I don't know.
Okay, so Scott, I'm assuming Scottish Highlander is a type of cow, right?
It is, yeah. If you've ever been to like, it is. If you've ever been to like Hobby Lobby or something, like you can't. I went there with my daughter 2 weekends ago, and it is like this thing that has hair and has horns, and you would probably know it.
Yeah, like every Airbnb has a picture of a sky.
Yeah. Oh, do they? There you go.
Yeah. Or whatever. Yeah.
We just don't have a picture. We have the real thing. So. There's one of mine right there.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Look at that. Okay. So what are you doing with these? Like how is that an amenity for your guests?
It's an amenity because, it's part of an experience. People will take pictures with this. We're not sure if we're going to open it up yet for this, but you can actually comb them. They're very tame. And this is not an amenity that probably anybody on this show will probably ever have. So maybe it's not one to go deep into. But it was something else to here's what I think you could take away from it is how do you look different than your competitors, right? And for me, that was a differentiator. There's other, like in our area, there are other farms. We have this on one of our farm properties. And other people have like, you know, chickens and stuff. And some people want to come experience that. But nobody had a Highlander. So these were, I think I spent, the one I just showed you was $2,000. So if you want to know the cost for the amenity, it was $2,000 and I had a pasture I could throw it into and it eats grass. So we'll see what the ROI is on that. That's one that maybe we don't see through STR Insights, but we'll figure that out as we move forward. But that's kind of a fun amenity that we're testing right now.
I'm like, as we're talking, I'm like on your site and I'm looking at your properties and stuff. Some of the rooms are like the playrooms and stuff like that are a little more themed and you've got the pool and other things, but you're right. The properties themselves, they're nice houses, but they're not like, you know, write home to, you know, everybody and tell them, oh, I'm at this like really, really like cool outside, like luxury, you know, brand new construction, you know, or unique, crazy design house. So my question though, is looking at these properties, do you believe there's a sweet spot in bedroom count or guest count of how many you can accommodate to make these numbers work?
Yeah, that's a great question because you always, as you've taught and I've learned from you as well, like always look at bedroom count in a market. It's interesting because we do cater to larger groups, but yet I can tell you like at our Hershey property, which was, I wrote it down, is at 368,000 already this year. And that's the one I bought for 1.25. I have people, like I catered it to like up to 18 people we could host. So it's 7 bedrooms. But this August, I would say the average, I could pull it up on our data, but the average guest count, I think, would have been around 10, maybe even 9. So it's interesting, like they'll have empty bedrooms. There's just this, I'm catering to, it seems like we're hitting multiple things I didn't actually think I would. I was like you, I'm like, oh, we'll just have more bedrooms and we'll have more people, which actually does work. Yes. And I did look at like this blue ocean of like, how many people have like using your software, how many people have 6 bedrooms, 7 bedrooms, 8 bedrooms? And there's like none. It is a little bit more of an investment, but your own category. I'll share this with you. The first one I did like this, my average Airbnb around me, and this house was, I bought it for $575,000. I made it to where I think we had 10 bedrooms in it. You know, you can get creative with spaces. And the average ADR for people around us was like $400 a night. I started that thing at around $1,600 a night, and we almost like we booked it. Our goal is actually to get to about 42% occupancy, to be very specific. But we hit that number. We hit that number. We continue to, because we had the bedroom count, but we have no competition when we do that as well. And then we added the luxury feel to it as well. So to answer your question, definitely bedroom count makes a difference, but the luxury factor gives another element to actually bring in people who don't even use all the bedrooms that we have, which is interesting. I didn't actually think through that when we did this. So
when you're looking, so you obviously got the first property and you were probably, I would assume, pleasantly surprised by the numbers and how well it was doing. So what led you to pull the trigger on these other properties in these different markets? Because I mean, I do know where Hershey, PA is. I mean, that's got a big amusement park and some traffic drivers, but some of these other ones, like, I don't know where they are, you know, like, so like, how did you like decide on those areas that they would give you the best potential as well?
It's a great question. So we do have traffic drivers. There are people that come to Hershey, Pennsylvania, Lancaster County. We have people that come to see the Amish. But I think like for us, it's not so much, there is a traffic driver, yes, because you need to have people that want to come into the area. But we also just focused on catering to a more luxury high-end client. And people ask me, like, what does it take to be luxury? One, you have to think you're luxury. So what does that mean? It means all our communication, how we are on our Airbnb listings, how we position ourselves. We're not going to just sound like, and we talk about concierge services. Even if it's just you, you can do concierge services for people. So that's how it started, is just like we decided we are going to be luxury. And what does that look like? But now we've positioned ourselves as a brand. It's like if I go to a Four Seasons or a Ritz-Carlton hotel versus a Holiday Inn Express, I do have a different expectation in the property, but in my experience, but I also expect to pay more. Does that make sense? So I went into the mentality of that as well as we were kind of looking at investing in this market. Yes, it's a good market we're in, but what we're doing, I believe, can be duplicated throughout really any traffic driver market. When you look at bedroom counts, yes. But then when you add the element of luxury to it, it just takes it to another level.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. So anything else for you that you think that might be different than maybe what in our space, we hear luxury a lot. You know, I feel like everyone's like, oh, I have a luxury property. And then you look at the property, it's not really luxury. So what to you are things that stand out, not just amenities, but anything in particular that you feel like makes it truly a luxury experience?
Yeah, 100%. Number one is people skills and hospitality. Because I've stayed in some of the nicest properties in the world. I've been blessed. But I can tell you, like, there's some I would never go back to. I've stayed in some of the worst properties. But if it's the right person I'm dealing with, I would go back, if that makes sense. So it's hospitality and learning how to make sure your guest is number one, and learning what they want from a demographic standpoint, yes. But then also things like one of the things we do, we create these hospitality, we call them funnels or automations for our clients as well with STR Digital. But like, we'll have a message that goes out after booking with a calendar invite to get on the phone with our concierge services, which could just be you, by the way. I do have a person who manages our properties now. And we say, hey, we want to, make sure, Kenny, you have a great experience staying with us at luxuryrentals.com. we just want to take 5-10 minutes of your time to make sure the home is prepared for whatever you're celebrating. And usually by now, we would actually, in our pre-booking funnel, we would actually know what they're coming to celebrate. You know, if it's just a girls getaway, if it's a birthday party, we have like next year, there's a 99-year-old birthday party. It's their 50 year coming back to us. And they're like, we want to celebrate our grandma's 99th birthday. Well, guess what we're going to do? We're going to be focused on making sure the experience for grandma, our great grandma's 99th birthday, is phenomenal. I can do that at any price range property, right? It's not about they paid $100 or $1,000. Like, it's just honoring my client, understanding what they want, and then helping them get their goal. It's a key core of really every business I've ever built, is what I just laid out for you. So when you're talking luxury, you're right. Like, you can go to like the nicest property, but have some of the work. I paid for a place. It was in Orlando, Florida, Reunion. I think it was like $25,000 for the week. This was like 3 years ago we went. And their support was horrible. They were a big property manager. Just a bad experience. Like, I do not want to rent through them again because of the experience. We had a few problems at the house, and just nobody ever showed up. Nobody even like commented. Nobody, it was just, there was no experience there for us. I have one of my friends, he owns three beachfront homes in Myrtle Beach, North Myrtle Beach. They're probably the best properties on the coastline. He's works with one of the top, in fact, I think it's the number one revenue property management company in the US. And we're working with him to change that. But same thing, like the hospitality to those higher tier clients, there's actually, they manage all types. They have condos, they've got one bedrooms, they've got beachfront. But the hospitality should be consistent throughout the product, right? Not just because I have a 2-bedroom house or a 3-bedroom house. Like, it's people. We deal with people. So if I can learn how to honor people and help them get what they're looking for with my property, they're going to keep coming back. And to me, that defines more luxury, is how I deal with the people. In fact, if I were to go stay at a, like, here's something we do. So if a yard guy, if a pool guy shows up on one of my properties, guess what they should know? They have an app. They have Hospitable. We use Breezeway. They know the client's names. And this doesn't take a whole lot of work. But like, Kenny, if you're showing up on my property, and I'm thinking of Jessica right now, she's staying at the Grandview Farm. See, I know her name. And I'm not even the guy that manages it. I just know if I have an interaction, I'm going to use her name or maybe the last name of some of my workers. So it's a way to honor a client and not just like show up and be just some guy out there. We know their names. We know what they're there for. And it doesn't take much. There's automation you can set up where your team knows, like, hey, Kenny, Jeff's staying at your property. They're there for, I don't know, it's his buddies are hanging out for a college reunion. And he's got 3 friends. Here's their names. And that's something that we have set up automatically that our people would know. So when I'm getting into hospitality, you know, that's a whole category that you can never see in a pro forma. You don't see it in your analytics. And I'm a huge pro forma guy. Like, I love data. In fact, I don't know if you could see this. On my wall is the relentless pursuit of
data monetization. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I'm a nerd. Okay. I love it. But even when I pursue data, I need to understand how people work. And I need to understand, if I understand people, my data is going to be a whole lot better than anybody else in the marketplace. Even with a similar home, like, there's people with similar homes, and I'm telling you, they're half of the revenue and they've spent more to buy the properties than we have. It's just a fact. I know who our competitors are. And they just, some of them reach out to me sometimes like, hey, would you manage our property? I'm like, yeah, no, we just don't. It's not that I wouldn't want to. We just, in our business, I don't want to. We just do our own thing. So I think that goes back to your question, was what would make it luxury? I think the number one answer is people skills and honoring your guest. And that goes to any level of ADR that you have. There's a different level you can do, but you could create automation to do the things I'm telling you right now that will make somebody feel more special about their stay with you. And not only that, when people feel appreciated, they come back and they come back. You can set up automated systems to like send out birthday cards to people, grabbing my phone because that's what I do when I talk about data, I guess, or automation. So they get a card in the mail from you that says, hey, thank you. Sometimes those are handwritten. I know my property manager, one of the things we do, Kenny, is we send a handwritten thank you note on checkout. I think now we've automated it to where it just says like, thank you for staying with us. And don't get me wrong, we use tech. We have a rebooking funnel. In fact, one of my properties, the first 3 weeks of July, the people rebooked within checking out, I think it was 48 hours, using a lot of automation, but also using things like handwritten notes. And I know that might sound crazy to people, We've duplicated that now to where it's not as handwritten. Now we have a signature on it and there's a note on it. But those types of things really help with the luxury feel, if that makes sense. And it's really not that hard to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. Those are some really, really good insights. So thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. Let's jump a little bit into more on the marketing side. And we can talk a little bit about STR Digital, but let's talk about marketing. Because I noticed, you know, I pulled up your direct booking site. Do you believe, so we'll start high level, then we'll dive in deeper here. So you're on, I assume you're on Airbnb. You've got a direct booking site. I assume you mentioned VRBO earlier too. Do you believe that helps you expand and increase your revenue?
To be on every site?
Yes. Every site.
Or Airbnb? Oh, 100%. Yeah. Here's how I look at, I probably look at Airbnb different than 99% of people in this marketplace. I look at Airbnb, my background's advertising. I do a lot. I have another business. It's just an advertising business. But for me, there's very few places where you can advertise for free that actually creates results. So Airbnb, we will get bookings. Last year, it was 26% of our revenue came off Airbnb. This year, I haven't looked at the percentage, but we're not too heavily reliant on Airbnb. But what we treat Airbnb as is a place. Yes, we want to create an experience. We want to get bookings, but we also want it to be a billboard where people can come find our brand and book with us directly, if that makes sense. And we do things like I'm pointing to a screen to my left. We do run ads like Facebook ads to our Airbnb listings actually to help promote Airbnb as well. And I know we get bookings that come through Airbnb from our ads, but I'm okay with that. But generally what happens is people will find us and they'll begin to book direct with us, which saves them, 15% or more. I feel like Geico saves them 15% or more to book direct. I know in March, April, our direct bookings was over 65%. I honestly didn't look at our summer. I know like we use Hospitable and most of our schedule is red, which usually means direct booking. Airbnb, I think, is green. And Vrbo blue. I think those are the colors in Hospitable. So usually our schedule's red because it's mainly direct bookings. Whether it's repeat bookings or coming from Vrbo or Airbnb, and they see, hey, it's the hot. Every one of our we're talking marketing. Every one of our properties has a brand. So like the number one property we have is called the Hawkview Retreat. So if you Google that, you're going to find Hawkview Retreat. You're going to find PA Luxury Rentals with Hawkview Retreat. You're also going to see we own the domain. Because when I look at naming a property, I always make sure I can buy the direct keyword domain as well. And it's got to be two words and be easier to spell. So in our branding, we're starting, I'm going down a tangent here with the marketing. So you can reel me back in, but that's key. So people are going to use Airbnb, right? They are going to see pictures. Like you got to make sure your pictures are in the right order. We have our fifth or sixth photo on Airbnb is actually an outdoor sign that says Hawkview Retreat for this property I'm giving you an example of. And people Google that in the site called Google, right? And they find us directly and they book. Like live chat. I'm picking up my phone again. And I had people this morning direct booking right through the live chat. I have a property manager. I'll hop on because I like helping people with our properties. But those are people who find us from, they might have seen us on Airbnb. They might have seen us on Vrbo. We also have, we do some pretty creative things with YouTube. Social media is not the biggest driver for us. What drives a lot of business for us is actually, and I'm kind of going down a marketing tangent. If you want to stay on target here with Airbnb, we can. I'll write down this note and I'll share this a little later. Do you have a follow-up question before I go down a path? So
it sounds like what I want to just help people understand is that it's not just enough to just have a direct booking site, but you need people to be able to find it, right? Like you want people to easily be able to find it and book direct through there. Airbnb is helpful and it's not like one or the other and you can have your feet in both camps, but the reality is you use Airbnb to help direct traffic even to your direct booking site. And that's ultimately where you want people to go. It sounds like an ideal world. You would prefer 100% would be direct bookings.
Yeah, and I'll share one story. Like, here's what I've built a couple businesses in my past that were very reliant on one source of, I call it traffic or lead generation or sales, right? So in 2008, I built a really good business promoting different people's products on Google AdWords. And Kenny, one morning, or it was actually probably, I'm going to call it like 10:30 in the morning, all of a sudden on my screen, it went red and it says, your account has been disabled. And I think we were making pretty good money at that point. We didn't know we had violated any terms of Google. And honestly, when you, I've had a lot of experience with Google, almost named my dog Google, and then I got Google slapped a few times, so I haven't done that. But the reason I'm sharing that is like that business was very reliant on just Google. I also had another business where we made a lot of money with Google AdSense. And one month they owed us, we were doing a lot of revenue. It was $1.6 million. And we got a thing that said, hey, we're not paying you this month. And I was like, oh, wow, that kind of hurts. Like we have a business model that's relying on that revenue. I had another time I got slapped by Google AdSense. It was $500,000. So what I learned from those painful lessons was I need to develop a business which doesn't just rely on one thing. Like most people right now, I mean, it should scare them. But if Airbnb says, hey, we're not going to let your property on Airbnb, like you're out of business. That's like most people in this market. Like the idea of like, they hear direct bookings, but it's kind of like this thing like, oh yeah, I need to do that. I know I need to do it, but I'm still making all this money on it. It's like, I don't know. I make all this money on Airbnb, so why would I change it? Well, you should, because don't be stupid. Like something will happen at some point. Some algorithm change can happen where you're not on the first page anymore. I mean, I've done a lot with Google search, and Airbnb has got a different algorithm, but like things change. And if you're too reliant on one source, you actually don't have a business. It's a very unstable business that can fall at any moment. So to kind of answer what you were asking, yeah, I think it's a good part of the business, but you definitely want to diversify, build a brand. In fact, one of our number one booking sources is one we've not even spoken about on this call. And it's probably because nobody else has what I'm talking about right now. You want to know what it is?
Leave us in suspense. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, tell us what it is.
It's called referrals, word of mouth advertising. We have systems in place. Like I had a woman stay with her family at our one property. I'm pointing because it's that way. And all my properties are about an hour and a half from where I am right now. But she came with her family and then they were from Ohio. And since then we've had multiple bookings. She went back to like her, I don't know if it's a bridge club or a card playing club. I don't know. But they had such a good experience with us. It wasn't just the house. It was us, the people in the business, that she told everybody about it. And now I've actually learned how to use automation to, we create this virally. It's better than, yes, you can take a picture on Facebook. That's great. But everybody sees everybody else's life on Facebook. And it does work to an extent. But when somebody says, hey, Kenny, like, man, I just stayed in the best spot in Nashville, Tennessee. Like my boys and I, we went down there. We had a blast. You got to stay at this place. When you get that coming out of your guest's mouth, now you have a brand and a business that is very valuable. Here's what I love about that too. Those types of guests generally tend to be really good guests because they don't want to blow up for their friend or they're similar to their friend, right? Because one of the things we deal with is, I think anybody, if you own you wouldn't experience it yet, but if you own 1, 2, 3, whatever the number of properties is, it's like, who's going to be at my house? Are they going to throw a party? Is it going to be noisy? Is it going to be crazy? Are they going to destroy my house? I mean, these are all good questions. And when you get word of mouth advertising in place, the people that come are really, really good guests. Like this summer was like, we were booked like solid. And I got to tell you, like, I was like, do we have properties right now? Like we were busy, but like we didn't have problems with guests. There was one guest who gave me a little bit of a problem and it had nothing to do with anything we're talking about here. He was just not a good guest. Sometimes it's when you find that, by the way, we removed him from our database. We'll never let him stay at our properties again. It was nothing we did wrong. But generally, that somebody that comes off word of mouth is going to be a really good guest. They're going to be a repeat guest. It's just like if somebody's buying STR Insights or, you know, whatever we're selling, if I come off of a referral or word of mouth, I'm usually going to be a better client for you. I would be a better client for any business. I'll buy quicker. I'll trust you more. And I'll be a good client for you. So that it's a key, you know, business strategy. But most people don't have that in short-term rentals. I don't think they think like that. And we do. I think it's because a lot of people don't think of it as a business. A lot of times it's a side gig. I could have five. I mean, I've talked to people who have like 10, 15, 20 properties. It's like some kind of side gig. I'm like, if you would just like, some of them, This one guy had 5,000 stays, Kenny, at his properties. He didn't have any customer data of anybody. Nothing. 100% relying on Airbnb. No data. Never remarketed to the people. Didn't have rebooking. I'm like, oh my gosh, if I had that database, we'll go back to, whoops, where am I going? I can't even, this screen's different. Relentless pursuit. I can do well with that. I'll show you this side too. This is from one of my other businesses. We engage consumers to build brands for generational impact. So I think you actually hear me talking about that as I'm talking right now, is we're engaging consumers to build brands. And I think you have to come in and learn that type of mindset in any business and not treat short-term rentals as a side business, because it'll just be that. You'll look like everybody else. You'll sound like everybody else. And you'll be like everybody else, which is like the conversation I hear a lot is like, our calendar's empty. We're not making as much as we did last year. Like we're at 106% of our revenue, 104% already this year, 2024 versus last year. We did really well last year. We're doing better this year because I'm doing the things I'm telling you. It's not because it's the greatest property. It's not because it's the greatest bedroom count. You got to dial those things in. Like that's why your software is so key. You've got to buy right in the right area. Yes. But you've got to make sure that you take care of your people. And then you begin to get all this free marketing, free advertising. I'll give you one example of something we started to do. And we do this for our clients at STR Digital too. But like we have videos of our properties. And even if you don't have like a walkthrough video, the best way to get started is you just take your photos, throw them into something. And we can do this for people too. And we create a video of the property with some music on. But what we do, Kenny, is when you book, you're going to get a message that says, hey, Kenny, we're so looking forward to hosting you. By the way, we see there's 10 in your group. Here's a video of the property if you want to share it with them ahead of time so that they can be as excited about the stay as you are. Does that make sense? So what they do then is what do they start to do? They begin to share our property, our YouTube videos. Then we have, oh, by the way, here's a channel on YouTube with all of our properties so you can get excited about anything we can help you with. So that's one message. But I can tell you, I was just talking to my son, Joel, who works in our business. And our video impressions since we started this probably, I want to say 60 days ago or something, just one little tweak, we've gone from very few views on our YouTube videos, properties to, I mean, now it's close to 1,000. One of the videos is like 5,000 videos on it, or 5,000 views, sorry. But it gets to get shared. People now show up because people always wonder like, where the heck are we staying? Right? It's a question in people's mind. I don't care if it's the Holiday Inn Express, like I'm going to Colorado. I'm going to be in Alabama like the end of the month. Like, where am I staying? It's a good question. Like, where do I sleep? And it doesn't matter if it's the Roach Motel. I'd like to know where I'm going at least. And so do my guests if I'm bringing people along. So if I can help answer that question, even if it's my wife, if it's my partner, if it's whatever, my kids, right? They want to know, where are we going, Dad? Well, it's this place. And you can share an Airbnb listing or you can share something else. But you actually put like video assets in front of people, our direct booking website. We have virtual tours. These are things a lot of people don't do that create a lot of viral impact on our business that you're never going to find in an analytical tool. You're not going to find it on the internet. It's just going to be the unknown factor of why our revenues are up more than pretty much anybody in our area. In fact, well, I could say in Pennsylvania, we have the number one property in all of Pennsylvania revenue-wise. And I can tell you when I've looked at other properties, they look nicer, but they're not beating us for a lot of the reasons I'm sharing with you on this interview.
Yeah, that's really, yeah. No, that's fascinating. Lots of really good stuff here. I think you mentioned something that needs to be stressed a little more, and I want you to dive in a little bit more for me, because I think this is important, because there's a lot of people listening. I'm just thinking about a few right now that I personally know that listen avidly, and they're good hosts. They take care of their guests. They're accommodating. But as you were mentioning, it's just kind of like, it's like a bucket with holes in it, right? Like the guests are the water. They take care of the guests, but they just fall out. And it's never like, there's no remarketing or retargeting. There's no, you know, hey, you have so many referrals. They don't, you know, that's just it. So what do you, because you work with people like that, like this guy you were mentioning earlier, what do you recommend? Where do they start to kind of capture that? They have the hospitality down, they're good hosts, but to really focus and think with that business mindset,
I think you have to look at technology and putting technology to work for you. Excuse me, which can be a scary thing. Like you mentioned, a bucket with holes in it. I mean, you get in this business and it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I had to deal with these 52 things, right? You just have this dream, this vision, and then you get in it and you're like, I think I saw one of your comments, like, I didn't realize how much my overhead would be on a property. Like I underestimated how much it might actually cost time, money, resources to actually run this thing. So I think people underestimate that part. But as far as like putting technology into place and automation, so which can be a scary thing. Like I'm not the most tech oriented guy in the world. I just have gotten good at getting really smart people around me who are tech oriented and build out ideas and systems and automation that help us. But so for me, like I'm thinking back 2.5 years ago, I was very reliant on Airbnb and Vrbo. I wasn't collecting our customer data, which is horrible because that was my business back then. We were doing like 100,000+ registrations on our website a day. Of people's data, and I was monetizing. But in my own business, in short-term rentals, I wasn't even doing that. So the first thing you have to do is get something in place, whether it's like a property management system, like it might be Hospitable. We use owner reservations. There's a lot of good ones out there. That's not what this is about. Getting something in place tech-wise to have unified messaging, to make sure your calendar works across all platforms so you don't have a double booking, getting that data of your guests so that you can remarket to them. So that's like step one. And whether you can figure that out on your own, we do that with STR Digital. We can do all the tech. I couldn't do it. Like I started down a path and I was watching actually Bill Faith and he was showing me. I'm like, I don't know how to do all this stuff. I need to hire somebody to do it. That's how STR Digital was born. I'm not that techie. And I would rather go focus on hospitality and bringing in marketing and guests than I would all this tech stuff. So getting that tech in place is important. And then like what we do with STR Digital is we put some automations in place. So we automate even the direct booking stuff we talked about. Like we were talking about direct booking websites a moment ago. Most people say, oh, I've got one. And then I look at them like, it's horrible. number one, it's horrible. Number two, like what you said, actually, is probably number one. I can't even find it. You use these long words. You got hyphens. You got commas. It's just like, and then when I show up on it, well, it looks good on my desktop. People go, I'm like, have you ever looked at it on this? This is where most of your experience is. Oh, no, I haven't. And all of a sudden, there's like a picture of a dog as their headline picture. And it's the neighbor's like ugly dog. And so people don't understand that. There's a process to creating that website. So we have three different automation areas. We talk about a direct booking automations that we put in place. So that it does involve, yes, your website. Whether you have it or not, we can build it. If you have one, great. We can help you improve it. But then there's things we do in our Airbnb listings to drive people to our sites. In our messaging, like every message that goes out, it's branded. And it's one thing that I don't really like about some of the AI stuff I've been testing with. I'm not going to name companies, but they don't do it with the branding in mind yet. And I'm working with some right now to help them to do that because I think it's going to increase the performance. So that's the front end is the messaging, the direct bookings that way. Then second, we have things in our hospitality. Automations that we have. So things like I've already actually shared on this talk that we've been walking through where the messaging that goes out begins to create a really good experience before arrival, begins to even if you have things you can sell people, like we sell a lot of pool heat. We sell cleaning services during their stay. We sell beef, right? You know, I have beef. So we sell beef. We started a new thing just this last weekend. This isn't us. Like I just create relationships with people. Well, the beef is us. I'll create relationships with like a person that came in and decorated for a birthday party. So we're going to start to offer that to our clients and we make a percentage on that revenue. In fact, we've made so much. I think this year should cover my expense for a property manager by simply adding on some services that we gave to our clients. But we create automation around all that. And then really a key thing, which most people don't have, Kenny, is a rebooking process and funnel and automation. So we put this in place for our properties and it has generated hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue this year. Like by far, all it does, it automatically follows up. We create, and we could do this with STR Digital. We create custom content for your property, custom images, custom follow-up, but it'll do text and email follow-up to guests on checkout day for the next year. And it might be a month from now. I got a guy rebook, and he was in our rebooking funnel for about 5 months. And he was just getting content on the things to do in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Or here's the five things in Lancaster County, top restaurants. We're just content that they would want to know as a traveler. it's not like sell. No, we're getting them to consume content automatically, and then they rebook with us. And this goes out via text, goes out via email. And it's really is a set it and forget it type thing, where in July, for example, like I shared, the one property we had immediately, the first 3 weeks of the, we rented by that property by the week, they all rebooked immediately. It was their first time at our property, just from some of our automated messaging going out. So that's a long-winded answer, but there's three core areas you want to have direct booking things set up. Not just a site, and definitely not just a bad site. You want to have really good hospitality automation set up, and then you want to have rebooking automation. And that's what drives up a lot of our sales and helps us. And the other automation we put in there is like orphan days. So like we're selling days automatically before they show up. And I just sold this yesterday. I didn't do it. I got a text back, said, yeah, we want to add Thursday onto a stay here at the end of September. So it added additional revenue to a stay that would have been worth, you know, X, and now is worth probably 30% more just from a simple message that we set up in our message. Sometimes I don't even know we're doing all this. I come up with ideas. I'm like, did we get this done? And I'm like, oh, somebody bought. So the selling orphan days is really a big thing, but getting that set up automatically, it works. And if you don't know how to do it, that's fine. And there's two ways to do it. You can spend a lot of time and try to figure all this out. You definitely can. And you can learn. But man, if it takes you 3 months to get, I think here's what I've learned in business, Kenny, is speed. I've actually heard Bill Faith talking about this recently, and I learned it. I've sat in so many meetings with different teams and businesses. Here's what I'm going to share with you. You don't have to get it right. You got to get it going, right? So just getting a message to go out, you could figure out how to do it on your own, or just like hire someone, whether it's us or somebody else. Like I'm biased towards our company. I know what we do with STR Digital, but man, like go do something with somebody and get stuff live and begin to create results. And don't be one of those Airbnbs that's, I'm telling you, the next 24 months and just things going on. Like there's going to be so many properties for sale of people who really suck at business and really are bad at their Airbnbs. And the reason, Kenny, is they're not doing this stuff.
We're already seeing that too. Not to cut you off there, but I mean, if you pick, I don't know, pick a popular market and there is a sell-off going on historically higher than previous summers, going back to, you'd have to look like pre-pandemic to see the same number of properties being that are on the market right now for sale in these vacation rental markets, because people are losing money. The overall market, if we look at averages, I think this is fascinating. If you look at the average, it's down year over year. But it's funny, when I talk to people who are like really, really good at this, they're like, well, I'm not down. I'm like, what, you must be wrong. And it's like, no, like the people who are doing well and know what they're doing are doing better. And the people who don't know what they're doing or just playing to the average are doing worse. You know, it's like the wealth divide. Like that's exactly what's going to keep happening. And so you gotta make those decisions. I like what you said about working with experts. I 100% agree with that. Why, like, you're busy. Why try to, like the zone of genius thing? Why try to like go out and work with all these, you know, try to figure out everything on your own when you can just like work with somebody who knows what they're doing and expedite that process? So.
Are you talking about yourself, Kenny? Because I agree. If you're looking at properties, seriously though, like I could go try to like learn how to do performers and try to analyze markets. But I'm like, Kenny, like help me. Like that's how I function. Like you're so much better at it than I am. So I am going to like, I'm like, how can I pay you? How can I hire you to like come in, or what can I do? We've had emails like this in the last couple, like I'm serious because I know you do it better. I know I'm gonna have a much higher chance of succeeding if I'm willing to bring in experts around me. And that is so key. I'm going to be really blunt here. There's a lot of people who are in Airbnb properties that just shouldn't be. And the reason is because they don't treat it like a business. They're trying to like, I don't know if it's get rich quick or they've got a fantasy. I've helped a lot of people. Now, whatever the reason is, shouldn't be in this business. They're not meant to be a business owner. And I know that's like a harsh reality, but I've had to slap some people like, dude, you're losing a lot of money. It's because you really are kind of lazy in how you run your business and you're not working in excellence. And it's okay. Like you want to go have your W-2 and do that. That's awesome. Be happy there, but don't come into this space and think you're going to succeed working how you're working there, because that's just not how it works. And it's a reality, like people struggle like for years. I did, right? I didn't make money in business for a long time. And once I like realized like I was the problem, it wasn't the market, it wasn't like somebody's software, it wasn't this product, but I'm like, oh my gosh, it's actually me. My skills are horrible. The way I'm actually working in this business is horrible. And it's why I don't make money. And when you begin to have that honest conversation, which I had to have with myself, and I think everybody goes through this, or they will. And if you're thinking that's not me, it probably is you right now. Is like, it really is. Because if you're thinking it's the guy to the left or the right, it's usually you. And that's called humility too, right? Because if we walk in pride and thinking we're going to just do this, and we're not humble to take an expert's advice like you, Kenny, we're going to fail. And you just get pounded enough till you eventually realize that, hey, I don't need to be the smartest person in the room. I never want to be the smartest person in the room. I want people around me who are so much better than me, who will drive me to become better at what I'm doing. Whether it's in business, whether it's me, I'm a dad, I'm a husband. You know, I look at that in every area of my life. I'm not just compartmentalizing it to short-term rentals. But I have other businesses. Like, I need to make sure there's people around me that I either get to know, hire in, contract out, whatever. I need to have them in my life, in my business, so that it helps me go to another level. And I know a lot of people talk about that. It is so real. It's such a real thing. So that's why, like, being here with you, that's why I'm here. Like, I think what you're doing is amazing. I think the services, your software, everything is just ridiculous. I wish I would have had it 11, 12 years ago. Where were you, by the way? 13 years ago.
In college.
Yeah. There you go. You should. I know. I'm aging myself. I think I started this by saying I'm 50, right? So
yeah,
it's all good. It's all good. But thank you. Thanks for everything you're doing. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the kind words, Jeff. That's much appreciative. And I mean, it goes both ways. Like, I remember when I first met you, it was at that War Room Mastermind meeting in Scottsdale, and we're sitting around the table, and you gave me some ideas for just marketing and emails. And, you know, I just implemented it. You know, I was like, why not? And just the results, it was amazing. And it's really, like, inspired me in that journey of marketing to, like, well, if that worked, like, what else can work? Opened my mind a little bit. So it's, it definitely works both ways. But Jeff, as we kind of wrap up.
It's been fun. I just want to tell you this. It's been fun to watch you implement that and learn. And I see your marketing, and you're definitely becoming a much better marketer with people 100%, like your data. You always have a good product, right? But your abilities are definitely increased. And I love watching you and the value you're creating for people. It's amazing. So keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you for being on the show. Before we go, just one question, but then also two, how do people get a hold of you or your services that you offer?
If they want to stay at our properties, just go to luxuryrentals.com. It will get you there, unless that changes, because we have another brand. I do have paluxuryrentals.com. If you would like to have us work with you on these different automations and marketing services to help increase your revenues, to work with less stress, to have your life back, and to be able to actually scale and create a business that could be an asset for yourself and maybe for generations to come, then you can go to strdigital.com. That's our site. We'll have different things on there. You can just click to set up an appointment to speak with one of our team, get in contact with us. We're here to help. And I would love nothing more than to help some people right now just to grow and expand their businesses. I love doing that. Our team does. It's a lot of fun. It's enjoyable. I love hearing what you just shared. Like, I'm glad that you implemented some things and that you saw a result, right? And sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're bad. Like, that's how we figure out how to do stuff. We just take action and we start moving forward. So strdigital.com, we can definitely help people if they go there.
Perfect. And Jeff, last thing I ask every guest I have on the show, it doesn't have to be about marketing, be anything you want. What is one tip that you could give to people to cash flow positive with their short-term rentals?
I think it's almost what I said earlier. You got to treat it like a business and focus. When you don't treat it like a real business, you get distracted. There's something called shiny object syndrome, like you're doing these 15 things. Or don't be afraid to invest into your business, and then also, like, learn where you're really good. And in the beginning, I understand you don't have money and you've got to be like, you're the janitor, you're the cleaner, you're everything, right? But very quickly, I learned in my life that the faster I could get really good qualified people to handle things that I'm not the best at, because I treat it like a business, is how the businesses began to grow. And it's always surprising, because there's people that are better than me and better than you that can function in your business and take it to another level that I couldn't do on my own, if that makes sense. So we have to treat our short-term rental business the same way, even if it's one property right now, or you're looking at a property. You got to take it seriously. You got to treat it like a business and invest in it like a business and focus on one thing.
Awesome. Thank you. That's a really good tip. It's such a great reminder. I think that treat this like a business. I don't hear that often. And I feel like a lot of people feel like it's just like, oh yeah, like that's obvious, but yet people don't do that. So I love that you not only said it, but then you broke down specifically what you needed to do. So thank you so much, Jeff. Thank you again for being on the show. Thank you, everybody else. Any parting words before we go? Wrap this up?
Parting words. Just listen to Kenny. Do what he does.
Goodness. He was not paid to say that. Everybody listen, he was not paid to say
that. I was not paid to say that. I'm being serious though. That's been huge. I definitely tell a lot of people about you and what you're doing. And that's that word of mouth advertising I talked about earlier, right? Like there's no better form of advertising than word of mouth. And honor and treat people with respect as you're walking. I'm also a pastor. LivingHope.com is a church that I've been pastoring for 3 years. And among other things that we do, having the right priorities in our life is key. So I would definitely throw that out there as well. So
thank you. Great. Thank you so much again, Jeff. And for our listeners, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Cashflow Positive. And if you could do me a huge favor, if you haven't done so already, go ahead and click that subscribe button, whether you're on Spotify or iTunes. It would mean the world to me. Thank you so much. And I will see you on the next episode of Cashflow Positive.